Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Friday edition of Locked On Kings. Kings getting ready to start their season-long six-game road trip today in Memphis. Glad you could join us. I'm Jason Ross. Thank you for finding us, hopefully on iTunes. Tell a friend, let them know we're out there each and every day, Monday through Friday, the entirety of the Locked On Network. You want to get ready for those football games this weekend? Well, check out Locked On Patriots, Locked On Jaguars, Locked On Eagles, and of course, Locked On Vikings to get the very latest on what's going on there. But all NFL teams, all NBA teams, Locked On NBA, Locked On Fantasy, we've got it for you here across the network. So the Kings in Memphis today, we'll discuss that. Also, we'll tell you about the news from Thursday in which Harry Giles has been shut down for the rest of the year. We'll discuss that as well. And we're going to start things out with our Friday mailbag. So let's kind of go there because I had a question that tied in from Harry Giles. So I've had a couple of these. I hadn't really hyped up the mailbag in a while, and I was getting some emails. So I said, you know what, let me get that back here on this Friday. So here we go. This one comes from Casey. I continue to hear Kings fans gripe about the direction of this team, and I actually don't have a problem with it. I think that Vlade has done a good job and that we do have a good coach. We do need to stick with the plan and see the young guys develop. I've heard you mention good things about Harry Giles. What do you think he can become, and when can we expect him to play? Thanks, Jay Ross, for your podcast. All right, Casey, thank you very much. Well, the update from Thursday, of course, was that the Kings did announce that Harry Giles will not play this season. That's, I guess, part of his recovery from knee surgery a couple years ago. Remember when he was in high school. So they wanted to wait a certain timeline. There have been no setbacks. He has been practicing. They have made him clear, but they have no plan to have him ready, or they plan to have him ready for Summer League in Las Vegas. So if you remember, kind of backtrack on his history, he tore his left ACL back, I think it was 2013, and then he did his right one in 2015 while in high school. So it's 2 months clear since his last surgery, and which is a lot of, quote, medical experts consider that a benchmark. So to test the strength of the knee, and everybody, by all accounts, says no setbacks. He's done what he has medically to increase his workload in practice, and now I think they're going to increase all of that in practice, weight training, get his body stronger overall, his knee stronger, and it's just going to be the plan of the organization. So now, certainly, we can debate the merits of the plan, right? I mean, is this the right thing to do? Should they unleash him now? I had heard in the past couple of weeks discussions internally about this, and I think there was a struggle on the right plan. And it's kind of like playing the young guys. Is that the right plan? Mixing him in with the veterans. Is that the right plan? Playing only veterans. Is that the right plan? Well, with Harry Giles, there was some thought about bringing him back and playing him once or twice a week, but like 30 minutes, like a bulk amount of time. There was some thought, move him to the G League, get him his reps there. There was some thought of not playing him at all. Well, I guess they've landed on that, and basically they are going to unleash him come Summer League and next year and hope that all the things that people have been saying about him are true. And my thought on this is I really am torn because I can see, I guess, the thought behind this. But if it were me, I'd be itching to play him. I'd be itching to wanting to get more clarity. I think that's why you've made the decision to play the young guys now. You want to see what you have in Scal, in Malachi, in Buddy, in Bogey, and all the guys are going to be playing more minutes, I would say, for the final 39, 38 games here. So to me, Harry Giles should fill in and fit into that boat. And if he is in fact good, it gets your fan base excited. You might win a few more games. And this isn't anything, and you know where I stand if you've listened to this podcast for any amount of time. Like if it hurt him in a draft pick or two order, I personally don't care about that at all. I don't think the team needs to finish with a worse record to increase their chances at the one pick. If it happens, it happens. But if you're picking sixth, pick the best player. If you're picking first, get the best player. If you're picking in the second round, get someone that can help your team. I still think it's imperative for the front office to draft right. And, yeah, there might be some good guys in this draft. And even this last draft, I think, was pretty productive. But Markelle Fultz went one. And I'm not even closing the book on him. He may end up being a Hall of Famer. Right now, it doesn't look like it. And Lonzo Ball went two. The other night, Kings fans saw Donovan Mitchell in person. he was pretty darn impressive. And he went, what, 13 to Denver, who traded him already to Utah. So, you know, it's not, hey, you finish last, you get the first pick, and it's guaranteed to turn you around. Again, I say this every year. Look at the lottery teams. The Kings are one of them that have been there a long time. Minnesota had been there a long time. Orlando's back there. Phoenix is going to be there again. One offseason usually doesn't turn it around. It usually takes a couple years of getting good quality draft picks, hopefully finding the right free agents, making the right trades, developing players, and then going from there. But as far as the decision on Harry Giles, I think it's a little bit of a curious one. It kind of keeps that unknown out there, because we're hearing great things about him, but is he as good as we're hearing? And I don't know. And let's kind of feed off of that and hear from Garrett Temple. We played this, I think, last week for you, but here was Garrett Temple talking about his teammate, Harry Giles.
First of all, Harry is a great guy. He's probably our best rookie in terms of listening and wanting to learn. You know, all the rookies are great, but, you know, just Harry's the guy that really wants to learn. I understand why Coach K brought him to Duke. He really knows how to play the game. You know, he's probably our best passer. Our best passer as a big on the team. You know, his athleticism, you wouldn't know that he had the two knee surgeries. And he sets great screens, which is not usual for athletic young big. You know, usually athletic young bigs are taught to slip out and stuff. Harry sets great screens.
All right, how about Harry himself? Got this from our guy, ABC 10, Sean Cunningham. He had a chance to catch up with Harry Giles. We have Sean on here periodically as well. Here was, a minute or so of Harry Giles with Sean Cunningham.
Oh, yeah. I'm a competitor. So, you know, for me, it's just trying to play hard. I want to play. So, for me, it's just wanting to play and just being a competitor and being the person I am. So, just having a drive and just, you know, seeing losses and stuff, like, man, I wish I could go out there and do something. But, you know, it's about the future.
And as you kind of look going forward, I mean, how do you think about this as something?
Right.
How do you look at that
It's just what I get ready for. I wouldn't say it's a challenge. I mean, the challenge is going to be when I get out there on the floor, you know, playing against somebody else. But now it's just keep doing what I was doing and just get better.
What gives you the most confidence in yourself as you kind of move forward?
The improvement I'm making now. You know, seeing myself where I came from when I started and before everything else happened. And for me now, I just put my head down, you know, it's a new year, you know, take it to a new level and then just seeing how far I can get and then, you know, just show everybody what I've been made of in the summertime. Oh, yeah. We're going to see. I got something to show.
Well, the other part I like about what Harry said there is like, yeah, I got something to show. I'm sure he does. And I've heard, again, coaches say and Garrett's talked about, like, the best passing big man they have, sets good screens, gets how to play. You just want to see him. And even, you know, we're all super excited about De'Aaron Fox, and I still have a high outlook on what he can be, but you also see the warts, right? You're like, oh, the jump shot's not quite there yet. He's not always getting to his spots. He's not blowing by everybody. He's got to work at it, and you're not going to figure it all out right away, but some rookies come in and are truly special. And, you know, again, we'll use that word hope. Here's hoping that Harry Giles is that guy. We just have to wait. All right, so thank you, Casey. Sorry for that long response on that one. Next is Jordan. Jordan says, hey, we're almost a year from that Boogie trade. I know I didn't like it then. It seemed like you did. I'm not sure that it is much better now. It kills me every time that I see him play so well. They just beat Boston the other night, and I'm afraid that he's going to make the playoffs and that we're still years away from when the Kings get there. Do you still like the trade? Thanks. Jordan, like the trade? I do. I really do. And if I don't know if I'm the only one. I know when it was announced, when it happened nearly a year ago, Kings got ripped for it. But if you look at the entirety of the trade, here's the reasons why I like it. I personally don't think the Kings would have been that much better with another season of DeMarcus Cousins. Now, I have to kind of qualify that because he clearly would be the best player, but what else would they have had around him? The team would have looked different, and maybe they would have found a better combination, but I can only try to envision what would have still been here. So obviously, Buddy wouldn't have been. Would Willie be playing as much? Would you have moved? You wouldn't probably have Zebo. Would you have still attracted a Vince Carter or a George Hill? You could have drafted De'Aaron Fox. I think that still could have existed. Would you have kept Lawson or Collison? It's really hard to imagine what the roster would be, but I'm just going to go on watching him with this team in the past. And now, for the people that said, well, he's not around great players, he's around Jrue Holiday, who's a former All-Star. Maybe, I don't know that he'll be an All-Star again, but Anthony Davis, who's sensational. And I think they're two or three games above 500. They had that great Boston win that you referenced, Jordan, but then backed it up with a pretty bad loss against Atlanta. So I don't think of them as a playoff threat. I think they might make the playoffs, and I wouldn't let that bother you if DeMarcus Cousins makes the playoffs and the Kings don't, which is, you know, the Kings aren't going to make it, but can DeMarcus? Sure. But the bigger reason of what I look at is what the Kings received and what they don't have. And what they received, of course, if we backtrack now, is Buddy Hield, the 10th pick, which they turned into Justin Jackson, and Harry Giles, who we just talked about, and then they got New Orleans' second pick, which was Frank Mason. So that, in its entirety, freed up some cap space, got some guys in the offseason, and I think most importantly, the Kings were going to be in a spot where they're going to have to pay him $200 million. And, you know, he's going to be making that in years to come as a King in the $30 and $40 million range. How difficult would it be to trade him then if you're going, is he going to be here 9 years, 10 years, 11 years, 12 years, and you're not getting better? Now, what I can't say is if they got better a lot and he improved and he was at the All-Star level and whatever roster moves they made around him worked, well, then I probably would enjoy that more. But I just don't see that as a scenario that would have happened. So, yeah, I still like the trade, but they still have to make the parts. Like if Giles becomes great and other pieces, you know, Buddy Hield becomes a nice rotation bench player that gets 17, 18 game consistently, we'll feel differently. But right now, DeMarcus is outplaying all of them. That's clear. And his team may make the playoffs. All right, the next one comes from Trevor. Trevor's our last one here. He goes, I am an armchair GM. I make trades all the time for the NBA and for my team, the Kings. My buddies get frustrated with me because I'm trying to move all of the Kings players before they even get settled here. Can you come up with a couple of trade scenarios that you like for the Kings before the deadline? Here's what I would say about the Kings and the trade scenarios. The Kings did make a whopper, obviously, last year we just talked about with DeMarcus. And I don't know how active they'll be. Are they going to be buyers? Are they going to be sellers? I think ideally they would be sellers. I just don't know what kind of a market they have. I don't think they're going to be that eager to move many or any of the young guys. So going off that premise, then we have to look at the guys that are the vets, the five veterans. And you've got George Hill, Zach Randolph, Kosta Kufis, Garrett Temple, and Vince Carter. And those guys almost get separated into different categories as well. Because you got Kosta and Garrett, both very affordable contracts, I think movable contracts, but they have player options for the next year. I don't know if that helps or hinders a future deal, but both guys are making roughly around $8 million. Vince Carter is on a one-year deal making $8 million. I think he's movable, but for what? And if I look at just one, like here's a random one, just a total random looking around the league, would the Kings do this? I don't know. Would Boston do this? But Vince Carter to Boston for Marcus Morris? So maybe you address your 3-4 a little bit for the Kings for a guy that's younger, paid less than Vince, and has another year, an additional year. So Boston would be doing it to take on a veteran that, you know, maybe can give you some moments. But I don't – that's just a random thought. It's not anything that I see happening, but something along those lines. If you're trading someone like Carter, Randolph, or George Hill, I think you're either trying to get an expiring contract that you can get away from or some other – I don't want to say cast off, but maybe someone else that's on another team that maybe isn't quite getting the opportunity, that's got a friendly contract that you say, hey, get him in our group and maybe we can get the most out of him. So Zebo, I think there might be a market for him. Toronto might be a team. Milwaukee might be a team interested in Zach Randolph. I've mentioned Mo Harkless in the offseason. Like, would you trade him to Portland, give him a little more physicality for a team that might make the playoffs for a guy like Mo Harkless who they signed? You know, But is that, how much is that making you better? And then George Hill, I think, is the one that probably, you know, still in his NBA prime, has been a better player most places than he has been here and has shown flashes at times here. But then you look at the contract, $20 million this year, $19 million, and then $18 million. It goes down, but it's still kind of that three-year window. So long answer for you, Trevor, is I think it's going to be difficult to make a trade, to find a taker, and just to kind of fit in the criteria that they have. But I think they're going to call some people and look for teams that are, you know, 6, 7, 8 and up in the each conference, or a team that's, you know, can they push the Cavs? Can this team bother the Rockets or the Warriors or those teams looking to add a little bit? So, or, you know, still have a few more weeks. Maybe there's a key injury somewhere that affects one of these teams. So Long story short, I don't think the Kings will make a trade, though I always look forward to that because it's exciting to see what's at the other end. But don't be surprised if they made a trade and just took on like a salary that's just going to be gone. Like I was looking at like a team like Minnesota. Okay, how do you help them? How do you help the Kings? Could you take on a guy like Pekovic who's not playing, but just take that expiring? And so you might get something that's back, but that doesn't even exist really, right? So things like that, or a future pick, second round pick, anything to add future assets is what I think the Kings would try to do. All right, so tonight the Kings begin their season-long six-game road trip. It starts in Memphis. Memphis has been much better lately. They have won three of their last four. Don't have a great record, much like the Kings. They're 15-28. Part of that, though, is they've been out Mike Conley. I mean, Mike Conley has been out since November 15th, and they have just plummeted. But like I said, played a little bit better as of late, three of their last four. And if you remember, New Year's Eve, they came into Golden 1 Center and just demolished the Kings. It was not a fun game to watch. Memphis won easily, 114-96. The concern from that game was that they scored 114. Memphis, 99 points per game. That's second to last, trailing, yes, only the Sacramento Kings. So two of the bottom three defenses in the league square up, but two of the bottom two offenses square up today. But if you think about the game against the Jazz on Wednesday, that was two of the bottom three. Jazz are third to last, and they put up a bunch of points, and so did the Kings. So again, first meeting was 114-96. Tyreek had 26, 7, and 5. What will be noticeably different is that game, the Kings starting lineup was very veteran heavy. Kostas Koufos, Garrett Temple, George Hill, Zach Randolph, and Bogey. That was the starting lineup they had that day. And as far as veterans go, we know they're trying to hold out two a night roughly. I would think that Zach Randolph would definitely play because they're in Memphis. Vince Carter and Kostas Koufos have connections to Memphis. Wouldn't be surprised if those guys play. Maybe it's another game for Temple, and maybe George Hill is out. Who knows? But with the injury to Mason, maybe George Hill has to stay active. Not exactly sure how they're going to plan this, but we know, looks like on a nightly basis, two to three veterans will be out. As far as other things to look for from that first game, Willie had 21. Zebo really struggled going against Marcus Saul, who is obviously a very good defender. Just went 2 of 7. So I'm kind of past the point of not even trying to predict games, but almost what I think the Kings might do because – you know, we're seeing the tweak of the lineup. We saw a team that was able to score offensively against the Utah Jazz, put up some good numbers, but the defense regressed. So some nights the offense isn't there. Some nights the offense is there. Some nights the defense is there. Some nights it's not. The problem is both sides haven't been consistent on a night-to-night basis. So we'll see how it goes this weekend, and a rare weekend for the Kings, right? They play Friday, and then they have an open weekend. So I guess enjoy that, but we'll be back on Monday for another edition of Locked On Kings. Again, check out the entirety of the network. A lot of guys doing some hard work here on all the NBA teams and certainly on the NFL team, so we encourage you to check that out. We do thank you for listening. Send in questions, too. If you'd like, you can hit me up on Twitter as well at JasonRoss1140. So have a great weekend. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy the Kings game tonight. We're back next week for more editions of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.